Hello, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light on Friday, the 11th of November, which is, for many people, a very special day. It is the 11th, which was referred to in my message today from Saint Germain. He called it a day of great expectations, and I might as well pick out the high points in his message, since I've already mentioned that much. And he went on to say that it is a portal opening, and that there are many others to come, and these are changing our vibrations. He said that the portal is emerging of energy patterns that you can actually draw to yourself. He also said that our expanding consciousness will take us into new areas of awareness. He said that healers become more sensitive, and generally we should be able to find a greater sense of peace and contentment. He concluded the message by saying that love is, and that is all we need to carry around with us to do our work in transforming the old energies. It hadn't occurred to me before, but in Great Britain we have this Friday, the 11th of November, as our Remembrance Day, when at 11 o'clock we have the minute silence in memory of all those that fell in the last great wars. And I couldn't help but think how amazing that was, that it happens on such a day. And when the minute silence takes place, there is clearly a great outgoing of love and peace and compassion towards all those people that died in those wars. And you have to think this must make a difference, especially on such a day as this. Now, I will move to Sheldon Neidl's message this week, which is the first item I like to cover. And as usual, it's full of very interesting parts, which I will relate to you. And he started off by saying that your world is watching as the last cabal scurries about, trying to right its hopelessly sinking ship. He went on to say that our Earth allies continue to prepare the world for an amazing prosperity. And of course, tied in with that is the turn of abundance, prosperity, our freedom, and our sovereignty. He went on to say that only a few months ago, secret meetings were being held with the Dark Cabal, and they were terminated at their behest. He said it seemed that they believed that our programs were to be successfully thwarted. Now, the folly of their hasty actions has hit home, and it is now this cabal that anxiously worries how long it can stay in power. So, I thought that was interesting. One has to say that the space people, in this case mainly the Syrians, are able to tap into people's consciousness. They can be at the meetings and various places where talks, etc., take place. And in their invisibility, of course, they can hear and register everything that takes place. So I'm making the point that they are talking from a level where they really do know what is taking place and what is going through these people's thoughts. So I'm rather pleased that we seem to have the last cabal on the run. He goes on to say that the Earth allies have readied themselves in the interim period to take control of the American government. And that, of course, is something else that is mentioned in ASARA. That is the appointment of the president-designate and the vice-president-designate. So there is a lot of work clearly going on, as one might say, behind the scenes, of which we have only very sparse knowledge. The message went on to say that the present global diversity of random violence, unnecessary wars, and needless confrontations is epidemic. And he said, look around at the rising demonstrations for peace and demands for the creation of a new reality. These less sensational happenings hardly get a nod from the world's newspapers, let alone time in the precious minutes of local and national newscasts. And he said, why? Simply because it reminds too many in power of the time in the late 1960s and 1980s when the powerful were successfully challenged. And he said, now a new uprising is underway. Reminds me a little bit that in the last day or so, we've heard that a new president has been elected in Liberia. And I heard this lady speaking today about her plans for Liberia. It sounds very much as though she is a being of light. And the opposition against her was one, I think, that had the interest of the richer families in mind and the warlords. And this new lady president wanted more equality and sharing of the riches of that particular country. They've only just come out of a 14-year civil war, and the whole country is ravished and virtually destroyed. So perhaps that is an indication of where the newer representatives with a different way of thinking and a new consciousness are coming into these positions. They're there, if not already in place. Sheldon's message went on to say that rarely, if ever, do we send our fleets or appointed representatives into a primitive mess, the likes of which characterizes your present planetary affairs. He said, as a result, we have assisted you in forming alliances upon your world that can make a difference. Actions taken by these individuals and groups are causing what you now see. And he mentions that indictments are merely the start of other procedures running parallel to them. Legal manoeuvres to unseat this dark regime have only just begun. That sounds very promising, I must say. Certainly the indictments have only just begun, and the feeling is that there are still many more to come out. But of course news may break out in other areas on different matters, but the whole effect hopefully will see the quick removal of this cabal, although it is apparent they can be quite obstinate. She went on to say, your government is not monolithic. Many dare on a daily basis to defy secretly those actions that aim to restrict your freedoms and illegally limit your income. I thought that last bit about limiting your income wasn't totally clear to me, at least. Did he mean by taxes? Presumably so, because there has been a claim that some taxes are illegal and unlawful. I can't think that the spiritual hierarchy or those that have a view about how we live on this planet would agree with people having unlimited income. Anyway, that's interesting to know. Yet again in that, one finds a reference, I think, to what will be covered when Nasara comes to be. Sheldon goes on to say that many officials, former and current, in key financial and monetary organisations have helped to forge new policies that will be announced once this evil cabal is driven from power. And he says that the new policies have affected international legal organisations as well, and the means to reform and carry out a new Nuremberg-style trial are now in place. That really is taking the whole matter forward there, but it tells us that these people who have committed crimes against humanity will not get away with it, and they will answer for what they have done in a properly staged trial, similar to what happened after World War II at Nuremberg. He goes on to say that efforts will soon be rewarded, talking about what we're trying to do here to bring peace to the planet. And he said the most important of these efforts involves the prosperity program. In fact, these fantastic amounts of money are the key to ensuring the manifesting of your new reality. Again, one has to say there is a reference to the benefits of Nasara. The prosperity programs, of which I have no detail, will be funded through the World Fund that I believe Saint Germain has mentioned in the past, and these will cover the shortfall and the inequalities, I'm guessing, probably mainly in the third world. But poverty exists even amongst the richest nations, and I'm sure that the programs will cover all areas. He says, in fact, these fantastic amounts of money are the key to ensuring the manifesting of a new reality. And of course, what we've been promised is both in the nature of Nasara and also for contact. He says, now the means to finish the job are at hand. A special system to accomplish this is currently in its final process. And we expect some of you to soon receive a most wonderful and welcome surprise. So, let's say that the people who are already listed to benefit from the prosperity programs will find that the funds they need are soon to come their way. Sheldon's message goes on to say that Mother Earth is busily preparing herself for her new look. The great changes to come are only starting to appear, and as the Earth moves into position, many large earthquakes and similar events will happen. Sounds unfortunate, but I think by now we understand that the cleansing of the Earth cannot take place without some physical movements of land, whether some disappears or others come up. And as Sheldon goes on to say, many of the islands of the Pacific Ocean will coalesce into the reborn continent of Lemuria, Atlantis will rise, and the Cordilleras of the Americas will transform as well. And he said, this new planet is being born in small episodes that will increase in severity as time goes on. I think in the last year or two, we've seen sufficient to know that those movements are now really underway. And I think it's reassuring to hear from our ET friends that, for their part, they do try to minimize the loss of life and property. Finally, I quote from his last paragraph of the message, saying that they require us to have patience and comprehend deep in our hearts that the new reality is close at hand. First contact, similarly, is very near. The world you know is ending. In its place, a new and glorious reality is ready to appear before you. I think that's a very uplifting message, which tends to be the nature of Sheldon's messages. So I think that's very encouraging indeed. Now, the next item I come to is Nasara. I've mentioned this already as a result of Sheldon's message. One doesn't see a lot coming through separately about it, at least I don't. But strangely enough, I did get sight of a message which was titled Sananda on the Second Coming. Now, this was dated 2nd of November this year and came through a person called Angela. And in talking with Sananda, that's Sananda Jesus, he said, talking about the Second Coming, yes, it will be a momentous event when my Second Coming is a matter of fact. In the meantime, I will be closer to you in the spirit, and some of you will be able to strongly detect my presence, and some of you may see the shadow of my being when close to you in the spirit. And he goes on a little to say, although many will not see my spirit, there will be those of you will be able to see the ghostly outline of my spiritual body. Now, the only reason I'm reading that out before I get to the small section that refers to Nisara is that I recently came across another message about the second coming from people that sign off as Celestial and David. Unfortunately, I haven't got a date for this, not that the date really matters. But it's funny how you get these contradictory messages, because in that one, St. Andrew Jesus has said that he will not return to earth in any circumstances. You know, it really makes you wonder what to think. And I'm sure both of these people channeling, like myself, are convinced that they are a true and honest channel. But it does make you wonder sometimes why these apparent differences come into being. St. Andrew Jesus said that he will not be visiting this planet until the shifting of consciousness is complete. And he went on to say something that I've heard many times now, that the second coming as such is the return of the Christ energy with individuals, each one becoming one of the Christed ones. And I believe that to be more nearer the truth. I recall many years ago that when the second coming was referred to, I thought that was more in a biblical sense, that people expected Jesus to return in a similar role to what he did before, as something in the nature of a world teacher. So I think there might well be some agreement that he is not coming, if he comes at all, in that capacity. But it perhaps explains why he has said that there will never be a second coming of myself in person. Maybe that is what he was referring to. He's not saying that he isn't going to come at all. I would find it strange that since the messages through Sheldon have said that the Masters will return, that is Buddha, Jesus and Mohammed, if Jesus didn't come in the capacity of joining these two other great prophets in putting the religions of the world into perspective and ridding them of all the falsities and sometimes absolute lies. So we'll see. Clearly something is going to happen that will clarify that in the future. Now, to come to the first message and the small part that I think refers to Nisara, it goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, and we are giving you peace, and this is the peace in which we live. No more oppression, no more greed. This has gone forever, and those who will not listen will also leave, because the planet is destined to be a planet of love and peace, and there will not be a place on this planet for the foot of one who is self-centered, unconscious to the needs of others, and full of greed. This is decreed. And then finally, soon there will be material funds for all. Soon there will be those light workers of great heart who will give us their time to feed the poor and lift the downtrodden and heal the face of earth. I invite you to join those people. As soon as you hear that funds have been released for the poor, go to a church, ask if they have been called, and if they have answered, and volunteer to be one of them. It will not take long to change the face of the earth, even if one-tenth of the people on earth became volunteers one unto each other. So, there you are. I mean, that's clearly, yet again, another reference to the changes which will come when the Sahara starts to take place. I don't refer to it as an announcement anymore, because there is a feeling, which I would go along with, that Nasara probably will come out piecemeal. In any event, I think it covers so many aspects that it can't possibly all come out at once anyway. But we will see. One hopes it isn't too far away. Now I will come to the one message, or no, two messages in fact, that refer to our friends, the ETs. And I've got one here that I'm going to refer to, which was received much earlier in the year, on March the 14th, by Sal Rachel, and this is called "The Arcturians on Space Travel." In part, it says, in order to understand the higher principles of space travel, one must realize that the quantum flux and holographic nature of the universe is such that there is really no here and there at all. Everything just is, and everything exists everywhere at once. We realize this is hard for your 3D minds to grasp, but stay with us. And they go on to say that the method used by the Cetus, that's the Greys, and other 3D and 4D races, is phase shifting. And phase shifting makes the use of natural ley lines and grid lines of the planetary bodies, as well as wormholes and warps in the space-time fabric. These wormholes and warps are called portals and stargates by many of your teachers. So here we are, talking really about something that's happening today. It goes on to say, they are like holes in space that connect one system to another. Your scientists are beginning to explore the possibility that such travel is possible. Some of them have come upon information originally given to Earth from the grey races that have formed alliances with certain branches of your governments. Well, that's certainly something that's become generally known, I think, by people who follow such subjects. This message goes on to talk about the benefits from phase shifting, and says that one of them is that you create an electromagnetic field around the craft that attunes it to the particular ley line or vortex, and this in turn creates a slingshot effect, moving the craft through the ley line or vortex. And while the ship is in this EM, enhanced state, I assume that means electromagnetic, yes it does, it is invisible to most instruments and the human eye. And when the ship pops out of the portal or stargate, it becomes visible until it re-enters the portal or stargate. Then they then go on to talk about the zero point. Remember, this is the Arcturians talking here from a level at which they have knowledge far in advance of what we have. So they say, closely related to phase shifting is zero point propulsion. This is not propulsion the way you normally think of it. This is the ability to create a null electromagnetic zone around the craft, or cause it to enter into a dimensional state whereby there are no electromagnetic polarities. This has the effect of transporting the craft directly into the etheric realms. A little further on in the message, they again refer to zero-point travel and say that when the desired destination is reached, the ship repolarizes itself and emerges back into 3D or 4D space. There is then a dimensional shift that occurs to allow the ship to transcend the limitations of 3D time and space. The zero point field acts as the doorway between the dimensions. Within a zero point field, energy becomes essentially infinite, and matter and energy can be arranged at will. And now they say this brings us to the third and most advanced form of space travel, thought transference. To keep it simple, this involves the ability to think yourself to any location and time in the universe. This is not done by using technology in the normal sense, but by learning to realize that everything has a unique energy signature. And if you match that signature, you enter into the domain of that signature. Another way to put it is that in the higher dimensions, there is no time or space. We are all one, and we all exist at a point of singularity. Within a singularity, there is no place to go and no time in which to go there. You are simply there already. The only way to differentiate one there from another is through energy signatures. Earth and her people have a unique energy signature. If a soul capable of thought transference decides to go to Earth from a distant galaxy, that soul simply tunes into the energy signature of Earth and moves or attunes his or her consciousness into that signature. That's amazing, but they're nice explanations of things that perhaps we are only just coming to know of and try to understand. They then go on to talk about the ninth dimension and say that once a soul evolves beyond ninth density, the concept of space travel itself becomes meaningless. Not only is such a soul aware that he or she is one with everything, the energy of that soul becomes spread across all of creation at once, so that there is no place where that soul is not. That's interesting. I have to think myself that as one progresses through the dimension, your consciousness grows and expands and does take in more of what is around it. And those comments seem to confirm that that is the case. It also perhaps gives us an idea of how the Creator embraces everything and why they say that we are all God. We are all within that energy of the Creator. Maybe it begins to make a little bit more sense that we can understand. They say, though, of course, we are oversimplifying these concepts in order to allow you to grasp them. But these are the primary means of travel throughout this wondrous universe. They talk of a number of souls on the world that are actively developing the abilities mentioned so far. And they say that some scientists are aware of the quantum flux and its strange behavior, and that there are others who have mathematically determined the validity of the zero-point field. The final point I will mention from this message is they conclude by saying, "Beloved ones, there is really only one reality, and that is God." Right. My second one on ETs is from the Galactic Federation. In fact, the website is the name of the Galactic Federation. The web address comes under the name of the Nibiruan Council. And this particular message goes on to talk about the Galactic Federation of Worlds and explains what it is. A large federation of civilizations from many different planets, galaxies, and universes working together for the harmonious existence of all life. That's interesting, the extent to which it goes. And when Sheldon Nidle's messages have mentioned that the ET forces had millions of craft in rings around this planet, and maybe some people thought that was stretching it a bit, you can understand that when the Galactic Federation contains so many members, and they number into the thousands, that the numbers mentioned probably don't present any problem at all to them. So it gives us an idea, perhaps, albeit only one we can just comprehend, of the size of this federation. And they say that the Galactic Federation for the Milky Way galaxy is called the Galactic Federation of Worlds. And they say some of the races represented in it may be called by other names, hence the difference in the names given by the Thetas and the Andromedans, etc. Yes, that's an interesting point, isn't it? Names can be different from one race to another, and certainly from one planet to another. They talk about the different councils, and the Nibiruan Council is one of the largest, apparently, and has its own Great Hall, but also meets in the Galactic Federation's Great Hall more often than not, because its duties involve Galactic Federation management. It mentions, interestingly, that Nibiru is not a planet with one civilization. Instead, it is a Galactic Federation starship with representatives from many races whose role is that of a traveling galactic management team, and that their mission is to help negotiate alliances and maintain peace among the different worlds of the Galactic Federation and assist new and incoming members. Hence, their slogan is serving the worlds. Now, again, I find that interesting because my understanding is that Nibiru was in fact the planet, which is often known as Planet X, that came into this solar system on the tail of a comet. And it was later reported that it had moved out of sight around the other side of the sun where it is now stationed. And that at a certain appropriate time, it would like come into our view and, I guess, become involved in what we now know as first contact. But what is said in there, by saying it is not a planet, was confirmed by earlier Sheldon Nidal messages. In fact, it was said to have been a battle station, and it was, if you like, converted and used as a ship in space, and this is how it has arrived in our solar system. This is the same one that is mentioned even historically, traced back to at least Sumerian times, which has a 3,600-year cycle, which takes it through part of our solar system. So that is interesting, where you get confirmation of some of the details that have come out elsewhere. They say that the Milky Way Galaxy Galactic Federation is the oldest one in the universe, and that it was established after the first Great Galactic War that was fought in the Lyra constellation between the humans, reptilians, felines, and carrions. So these science fiction writers perhaps have got a feeling of what has happened in the past, and the idea that you can have galactic wars has been a reality, although I understand that this happened a long, long time ago, and since then people from the constellation such as Lyra have now turned to the Galactic Federation, and in fact they are said to be one of the first to have had a hand in human genetics. So there we are, there's a few interesting points have come out of that, what I call ET message. I still haven't found a great deal about UFOs at the moment, and I had a thought to myself that what I would do in the future, unless there was something very current and worth mentioning, is that I would go back to my old flying saucer reviews. I've got a fair number, and most of them are centred around the sort of 60s. And what I will do, I will look back and see if I can select some of the more interesting sightings of that period, which for many people are probably no longer known. They've been long forgotten. And I'll introduce them into the programme. At the moment, I've got two ET items. I had a look on the Billy Meyer site, and I have never found photographs that are equal in general to the quality and clearness of Billy Meyer's. And in spite of the number of people that have tried to call his photograph fake, I have read articles that state that the photographic laboratories have not been able to find any fakes amongst his photographs. Somebody once tried to say you could see the strings on some of the craft, and I think that was a hoax in itself. The photographic laboratories have confirmed that as far as they can tell from their tests, the Billy Myers photographs are genuine. Anyway, I noticed in one of his articles on the site, he mentioned a bit about the Pleiadians, which are the ones who mainly have contact with him. And he said that they are interested in the fate of the Earth because they feel responsible for their Lyrian and vegan ancestors' previous actions, false teachings and religions, misguidance and other wrongdoings against the inhabitants who had previously been born on Earth. He says that even in those early days, Earth humans joyfully absorbed and perfected the false teachings of the extraterrestrials, viscously and willingly, until they prevailed all over the world, as they are now. Therefore, the blame cannot be laid squarely on the extraterrestrials, but must clearly be placed with the willingness of Earth humans to adopt those negative habits. Nonetheless, the Pleiadians feel responsible for the wrongdoings of their ancestors, as well as for the ensuing degeneration caused by them while they were amongst humans on Earth. And it finishes by saying the Earth human opened up the floodgates to all types of insanities through his callous willingness and arbitrariness. Even now he wallows in terrestrial delights and thrills. There we are. Very conveniently, there is a mention in there about the people from the constellation of Lyra. Certainly had a lot to do with us in our early days. The other UFO item I had got, which I was extremely pleased to receive, was circulated by someone who's got, I think, the most charming name in his on his site, and he calls it Jack's Universe. I think that's lovely. And he talks of the Battle of Los Angeles UFO, talking of battle in the sense that the craft that's referred to in this particular report is one that flew over LA County when, of course, war had been declared with the Germans, and it was picked up by searchlights and guns that were locked onto what they thought was an aircraft for about an hour. And this was in 1942, February 25th, in the early morning. And what is wonderful about this report, because I think it must be one of the very first that has this type of photographic evidence, is that the black and white photographs of the day, and with this report there are actually four, or maybe three, with one blown up in different stages so you can get different perspectives. This must be the only one where you can at least see the shape of the craft within these searchlight beams. And the way it's been achieved, of course, is through computer enhancement. Now, if you can get to see that one, that really is worth looking at. And I couldn't help thinking that although the shape isn't totally clear, the craft itself does remind me of the Pleiadian beam craft, which Billy Meyer refers to. And in fact, on his site, if I remember correctly, I think there is a chart of a kind where you have drawings of about a dozen different craft. And it's got what I think is this distinctive bulbous fitting, or whatever it is, on the top of the craft over the cabin. Anyway, be that as it may, I think that was quite an exciting UFO report. I mean, the whole thing is quite interesting, but I won't spend any more time on it. My main point was to refer to the old photographs that have now been, as it were, brought up to date, and we can now see the craft that they were trying to shoot out of the air. Needless to say, they didn't do it, and in the photographs you can see the shells exploding all round the craft. I mean, when you come to think about it, if that was there or held in their beams for an hour, and presumably it must have been stationary, they certainly would have shot it down had it been any type of normal craft. So there we are. That's a very interesting one. Now, what I'm coming to now is what I call general news, and there's been a whole host of things this week. I'm a bit spoilt for choice, really. I did at the last moment today, when I turned my computer, see a report circulating that was on, I think, the Cloak and Dagger site, that President Bush actually slapped one of his aides or someone at a meeting or conference, and that caused quite a stir. And apparently, if it is, if I'm correct, it was the Cloak and Dagger side, it was sort of taken off the air, as it were, very quickly. Somebody tried to stop the information getting out, and apparently medics rushed in and to treat George Bush, because it has been rumoured now for quite some time that he's become unstable. He's alleged to have fallen to the floor and kicked his feet out like a spoilt child, I suppose, when this woman prevented his further assault on her by holding him in some sort of karate hold or something like that. And he was saying, oh, they want to kill me, or worse that effect. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that one. I saw an email going around congratulating the light workers for their thoughts trying to inject peace and beauty to make a difference in the House of Representatives, because we've learned that the call for options in allowing drilling in Alaska, that is in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, has been turned down, and that happened apparently on Wednesday. So that is wonderful to think that people have addressed that problem so well that it has made a difference in the House of Representatives. Maybe at last they are taking notice of the people that they represent. I think that's very encouraging. No doubt the people that want to drill oil in that area will not give up, and they will come back probably with another presentation in the distant future. But there you are, we'll have to see about that one. Apparently on Italian satellite TV, they broadcast evidence of US use of chemical weapons on civilians in, where are we, Fallujah, yes, when they held the city of Fallujah in siege. And I think it's an awful report. They're talking about something they call like phosphorus. And if any of you recall, as I do, that famous photograph of a young Vietnamese girl running in terror with her clothes stripped off her body after having been hurt by these napalm bombs, I think you wonder how any decent human being could ever use such a horrible weapon. But apparently they has got evidence that they used a new formulation of napalm on the Sunni civilian population, so that would, to my mind, be another weapon in the coffin of all those who authorise the use of such chemical weapons. I think that's awful. Within the report, apparently, they have said that the Americans are responsible for a massacre using unconventional weapons, the identical charge for which Saddam Hussein stands accused. You have to say that's ironic, isn't it, in a way? The terrorists trying the terrorists. There we are. I'll say no more about that one. I've made my point in there. There's another interesting article that came up, which was posted by someone called Esclamonda. This was on Monday the 7th of November. And it was headed, A Whole New Meaning to the Laying On of Hands. And it was talking about a Japanese scientist, Mitsuo Hiramatsu, who works at the Central Research Laboratory at Hamamatsu Photonics in Japan. And he led the research, and he said that hands are not the only parts of the body that shine light by releasing photons or tiny, energized increments of light. He said not only the hands, but also the forehead and the bottoms of our feet emit photons. And he added that in terms of the hand, the presence of photons means that our hands are producing light all the time. He said the light is invisible to the naked eye, and his team used a powerful photon counter to see it. They found that with their detector, that fingernails release 60 photons, fingers release 40, and the palms are the dimmest of all with 20 photons measured. Now, healers, and people being healed indeed, recognize that energy passes from the hands of the healer to the person taking the healing. And apart from Curlian photography that magically and wonderfully shows these energies coming out of our hands, that is possibly the first time that someone has done a scientific study that backs that up. I heard incidentally, Colin Powell is being investigated now for his war crime. I don't know who's actually doing it. I just made a note when I saw that one passing through the internet. And I saw a copy of a statement made by Barbara Streisand. And she said, if there ever was a time in history to impeach a president of the United States, it would be now. Now, what she's saying perhaps isn't remarkable, but I think it's the fact that it is someone who is famous, who's been prepared to come out and make such a statement. Often people in high places or with reputations to save or who are liable to be put out if they make statements like that, I think they're very brave to come and stand up and say their piece. Perhaps we don't get enough people whose comments would be noted saying what they really believe. But I thought this shows how things are opening up and people are now becoming prepared to stand up and be counted. I don't know if any of you read anything in your press. I say your press because I'm speaking from England. But I guess what happened must have been mentioned. But I have an email from Just Channelings who pick up little stories and other things. And it originated with someone called Hannah Beaconsfield. And she was talking about the night of October the 27th and the morning of October the 28th, when there was a strange phenomenon over New York City and many adjacent areas. It was a sweet smell that was so pervasive that 9/11 and 3/11 emergency lines were inundated with calls. Now, she said that she was awakened at some early hour on the morning of October the 28th by this smell, and she couldn't figure out what it was or where it came from. She said the odour seemed like flowers. Anyway, she thought perhaps a neighbour was cleaning something up and using a rather acrid cleaning solution and had switched to a more pleasant one. And since the smell wasn't offensive, she went back to sleep and forgot about it. But when she got up later, she heard on TV that this had been a massive phenomenon and caused a lot of reactions, and the EPA stated it was benign and most probably coming from some food preparation company. And understandably, she commented that I really can't imagine what the size of such a company would be to create an aroma that would cover such a large area. So she said, I asked the Palladian Light if they would give me some information about the occurrence, and this is what they replied. We are the Pleiadian Light. We greet you in peace and joy and the sweet smell of success. A successful contact mission. The phantom aroma Over New York City was a form of ET contact and was the work of the integrated intergalactic network of which we are a part. Mentioning other little comments that she's made, the Pleiadian said, often in the past you have seen our presence as lights in the sky. Why wouldn't we present ourselves to another of your senses? They talk a little bit about it, and then she says, they say, our energies act as a template, and you align your own energy signature with ours. This is not invasive, for the energy is offered to you free for you to use for your own ascension. A little bit further on, they say, the energy for change that this contact has brought to your plane has the effect of expanding perceptions. This expansion allows a wider overview of your reality. The wider view allows you to feel less anxiety about your current world situation because you feel less in the dark. It is the darkness and your inability to perceive what lies within that causes fear. And they go on to finally say, colds are a wonderful form of detoxification. They clear all the bodies of consciousness through this physical expression. That's interesting, and maybe it's just as well that we can't cure colds in that event. Anyway, finally, they say, when will you have the ET contact scenarios of your fantasies? The answer to that question is in the hands of your mass consciousness. The energy of change, the conflict between dark and light elements, the natural disasters and the destructive events initiated by various world leaders are causing such a riot of confusion that we couldn't possibly have a clear path for communication right now. And that is where that message ends. So we see the same ETs cropping up in these messages, the ones that I believe have a stronger alliance and contact with us, such as the Pleiadians. What have I got here now? Yes, we're talking here about the Nasara video. I think I did mention that once before, but I suspect this is an email that's come across my path, which actually gives us a little bit more information. It comes from the Nasara site, which is doveatnasara.us, and they're talking about Patrick Fitzgerald's indictment and the case against Libby, etc. And they go on to say, after Nasara is announced, it will be much easier for Fitzgerald to move forward in prosecuting those who committed much bigger crimes than leaking the CIA's agent identity. Fitzgerald's revelations will certainly help Americans and the world to understand why the reforms in Nasara are absolutely necessary. Interesting point there. I've never thought about how the introduction of Nasara would affect what is currently taking place. There we are. I'm not going to mention anything more because the rest of that memo is about the Nasara video, which I understand they're selling off quite cheaply. So if you don't know a lot about it, it might be a good idea to go on that Nasara site and see whether it interests you. Now, I've got a few more newsy items, but I feel I ought to perhaps think in terms of concluding the programme now. I haven't got too much time left by doing something I normally do earlier in the programme, and that is to review my own messages. And last Saturday I had Saint Germain, who said that the truth in general will start coming out now. It seems that once it starts rolling, it gathers more power, more speed, and I think that's what he's intimating. He's talking about hot spots of energy and how people are drawn to them, and of course that can apply to both energies that are positive or negative, and he gives one or two examples of what he means by that. And he says that how we choose our experiences and where we are is where we should be for these end times. He went on to talk about karma and made the point, I think, that's often been made, but it's worth mentioning again, and that is that karma is not in any way, shape or form a punishment. I think that was relative to why some people are drawn to the areas where a lot of negativity takes place and perhaps get drawn into it themselves. On Monday I had my own Arcturian, my only one, called Elar, talking of the noun, explaining what the noun means. And funnily enough, like the article I read, talking of travel by thought instantaneously, and also mentioning that travelling in the past or future is possible, and that the past, future and time measurement become irrelevant. And also mentioning that time is not constant. He went on to mention ascension and saying that the body cells are changing to a crystalline structure. And when your body is fully like that, apparently, you do not experience any aging, no illness or whatever, because that will provide you with the perfected form of your body. So on Tuesday, I had one of my Galactic Federation friends, Atmos, through. He was talking about the last cabal and how they were even turning in against their own, which I suppose fulfills the prediction that these dark forces eventually implode. They do turn in on against themselves. He said what is happening now is a stepping stone to a greater event. He talks of cleansing and also how in the future, particularly after first contact, that there will be so much cooperation between people and that competition, such as we know it now, will soon cease to exist. And he's saying that with first contact, the problems that we have now will be very quickly addressed. On Wednesday, I had Saint Germain again, and he was talking about removing the cabal and saying that there is a lot more happening on levels of which we are unaware. And he reminded us that we are obviously not fighting this battle alone. He says that the extent of life forms similar to our own is beyond words. And that space is endless, as are the higher dimensions and also parallel universes. He went on to something else and reminded us that we are great, powerful beings of light and that we are in no way looked down upon. On Thursday, I had another Galactic Federation friend of mine, Aga Greer, and he spoke about the increase in the vibrations and us being lifted up. He spoke of how beautiful it is when people of a like kind get together, such as in meditation, and how when your vibrations meld together, how calm and peaceful you find it becomes. Conversely, of course, you can get the opposite if you walk into a place where there is a lot of negativity, you can also feel that, and it's very disrupting. He went on to talk about the fact that most of us city dwellers like to get away from the cities and into the countryside. And he says that concrete cities hold the marks of time, the low energies, the noise, and everything else is contained in those areas, and it is something within us that recognizes that when we get away from the cities and out into the countryside, that we have or experience pleasant vibrations in the natural energies of the earth. I'm sure all of us at some time have laid down on a lovely grassy surface, haven't we? Admired the beautiful green, which is a very relaxing colour. perhaps we've laid back and looked at a lovely clear blue sky, and with a bit of luck, we're away from all the sounds of civilization, the cars, other noises, even planes if we're lucky. And in that quietness of the moment, it's a wonderful feeling. And you think to yourself, surely this is how it was meant to be. And you realise how much damage and how unsettling noise is. There we are. That was a nice message from him. And of course, I've already mentioned the one I had today from Saint Germain. So that finishes the review of my messages. I'll just finish up now with one final news item, and that was one talking about the Sirius Sapphire Crystal Aura and the Royal Sapphire Children. This was only a short item that I picked up from a site called Star Child Ascension. And the bit I wanted to pick up on was one that was referring to these young children who have this radiant Christ consciousness energy of the Sirius light. And they say that what is really exciting is that many of the crystal children born in 2005 will carry the royal sapphire and diamond energy in their auric field. And these powerful children will be energetically tuned to the highest levels of the Christ consciousness vibration from Sirius. They will have a deep and powerful love for the planet and a special affinity for the oceans and cetaceans, the whales and dolphins, who are also Sirian star seeds. These children will naturally hold the fifth and ninth dimensions in balance through their auric fields, and in so doing will help to create ecological stability and abundance on the planet. There you are. I'm going to finish there. I think over the last perhaps 5-10 years or so, the children coming in a lot of cases, have been very advanced souls. And I think we welcome their presence and we want them to share their wisdom with us. Thank you, everybody, for being with me. I hope to be with you again next week. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.